Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
BT and Sal back on the fan on this Monday, MLK Day, as we honor Martin Luther King, of course. Actually, a big day, BT, for the country. I didn't realize Inauguration Day. We don't get into that necessarily. We talk about it during the show. But yes, a big day today in the world. 888-808-1019, and the big day in the sports world coming off of the divisional round weekend. And as it pertains to New York, I'd be curious to get your thoughts, because I know you were excited about Aaron Glenn after the Sunday night performance the Lions had defensively against Sam Darnold and the Vikings a few weeks back. You saw it on Saturday night. The Lions were disastrous yet again defensively, couldn't stop anything as it pertains to the Washington Commanders. How do you feel about the possibility of Aaron Glenn now after that performance on Saturday?
I still love him. Now, listen, I think that it's, and a lot of people do this, and I just think it's foolish. You know, I just do. I'm sorry. But to elevate somebody after one game, like now Cliff Kingsbury is getting thrown back out there. I'm not saying that he can't be a better head coach next time around, Cliff. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, up until really this weekend, you didn't hear it quite as much. And now because Aaron Glenn, I know the 12-man penalty on the field, that's Brett's a brutal look. That's on him. But if you were of the mindset that Aaron Glenn should be on the short list for the Jets, which I clearly have been, once I knew there was no Vrabel, it was Flores, it was Glenn. Those were my two guys. Initially, it was Flores 1 and then Glenn behind him. I flipped that about a week to 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks maybe, where Glenn flipped over Flores, and I feel the same way. You know, to me, what Aaron Glenn was able to do with the rash of injuries is amazing. And it tells me that he's not overly reliant on one superstar player like Hutch, who went down. So I'm still a massive Glenn believer. Dallas is starting to like Aaron Glenn as well. I don't know if the Jets will hire him, but I would.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should be overreacting to what he has done as a defensive coordinator in the last few weeks. I don't also think that anybody, in theory, should be reacting to what a coordinator does in said year with a team. Like, it changes year to year. It's so ridiculous. Bobby Slowick and the Texans, their offense last year was like, oh my God, this is great. This year is like, I'm not so sure. So you shouldn't be hiring him just because of that. Aaron Glenn, if you are to hire him, now we're not in the rooms. We've heard some of the quotes, which I think could enhance his standing as far as it goes with us making a decision, but we're not in the rooms interviewing these guys. But I wouldn't hire Aaron Glenn just because of the defense statistically or the
results. No, me neither.
Yeah, but I think that's how a lot of teams do that stuff. Oh, look at the defense that this team has this year and the success that they're having with this person as the coordinator, therefore he should be high on our list. Or look at the offensive success that this coordinator is having this year with this team, he should be high on our list. I don't think that that should be a factor. I would bring these guys in based off of, you know, hearing things around the league, whatever, and then interview them and then hire them not because of what they did offensively or defensively with that team, because it's a totally different circumstance. It's a different roster, different players, different job. So it makes no sense to hire Aaron Glenn because of what he did with the defense with the Lions, good or bad.
It's got to be a longer body of work, and I love the fact that he played for Parcells and he's been around some really great minds. I love what he said last week. We played it for you here on the show. When he was asked about, you know, hey, what do you say about you being a defensive coach? He said, that's great. You could think I'm a defensive coach. I'm a coach, which means he's got no problem walking down the hallway, knocking on the door, and kicking the offensive staff in the ass during the week, or probably walking down the sidelines and say, whoa, what are we doing here? Why are we throwing, you know, 75% of the time today? Why are we abandoning the run? Why are we doing this? I think that Aaron Glenn has those qualities. I truly do. And I think the Jets do. Now, I will say this. I spoke to somebody this morning.
Okay.
On the way in, and it did give me pause because it's somebody that I respect tremendously, okay? And that person said to me straight up, I would not hire Glenn. And I was like, why? Why? And they said, Flores has to be the move. And the thought was, Flores is going to run an incredibly tight, tough practice. The sideline's going to be in order. The building's going to be in order. And not that Glenn can't get there, but it's a bit of a leap to expect that he would get there now, like right away without a learning curve. And the 14 years that have preceded this hire really necessitates the move to, I guess, mitigate risk.
Yes.
I know.
No more learning curve here.
And I heard that, and I'm like, that's the last thing I want to hear about a guy that I really think can be a rock star in Aaron Glenn. So just because that person told me that, and I think they're very well informed, I know they know the game better than me, I'm not just going to latch on to their opinion. I'm going to stick with mine, but that rattled me a little bit today.
And it doesn't mean that Glenn can't be successful, unlike the other first-time Jets head coaches.
Yep. And it doesn't mean Flores will be, by the way.
100% correct. But to me, that's the main reason why I wouldn't do the same thing over again. Not only a first-time head coach with this organization in this town, also a guy who, even though he says he's going to be head coach, which I do believe, he's not a young offensive mind, that if I'm going to risk the first-time head coach thing, I want that guy to have the offensive foresight and play calling and all those things. That's the way that I would lean if I'm going.
You've said that. But yeah. Don't you think it should be, or don't you think it could be different because the Jets aren't taking a quarterback in round one? And, I mean, we don't think that they are. Like, if they had the second pick and we knew they were taking a quarterback,
well,
is that a little different, like, to align yourself with that offensive guy? Like, would you, I don't know. Would it change it?
I think it makes sense, and yeah, but I... Which is why I said I wanted a veteran head coach, McCarthy, Pete Carroll, hell, even Brian Flores, who's more veteran than a lot of the guys the Jets are interviewing, to go along with Aaron Rodgers this year. Because I think in that spot, if you thread the needle the right way, you can maximize what you currently have in place and maybe get this team to the damn playoffs while also building out the future. However, I'm not doing it just because I want Rodgers back. Now, that's what I would do, but if they come to some conclusion, whether it's the new hire doesn't want Rodgers or Rodgers doesn't want to be here, then okay, moving forward, I still think I'd rather have the either ultimate experience like McCarthy or some experience like Brian Flores. You know, I've thrown out Pete Carroll. You know, it's not going to happen. Sure. Cliff Kingsbury, second go-round. Or Brian Flores, but I'd rather have the offensive side if it's going to be an inexperienced head coach.
Okay.
I mean, look, there's many different ways they could go. I don't love their enormous list. I don't even love the fact that they have an enormous list.
Yep.
And then of that enormous list, there's like four guys that I would want that they're not interviewing. So when it comes down to it, Flores, to me, probably fits at least a little bit of both sides. He brings in that no-nonsense head coach that has experience before that could win now and still have, you know, he's young enough to where you could have him here in the next 10, 15 years.
I'd be pumped with Flores. Yeah. I truly would. I would be very excited with Brian Flores, even though I favor Glenn. Right now, I mean, when you have a hire of this magnitude, even though they haven't made up their mind yet, there's generally a feeling that permeates the room that has the influence in the decision. And they're kind of leaning one way, and they'll, I guess, ride out this process the rest of the way to see if they're swayed and that changes. Right now, who do you think the Jets think they're going to hire right now, this morning?
I mean, I have no intel or insight on this. Yeah, I would guess Glenn. I heard Boomer talking about it a little bit. Put it this way. I think Glenn's getting hired.
Somebody. Absolutely.
Yeah, this go-around, I think he's getting a job. Now, remember, too, oddly enough, three of the openings, Glenn has played for those teams.
I know.
Dallas, New Orleans, and the Jets, of course.
Know.
Kafka getting a second interview with New Orleans, so who knows?
I saw that.
You know, McCarthy's still on the board there. Kingsbury, I think, is going to get a job. You start thinking about it. I would be, at this point, tough to say this, but I think I would be more surprised if Flores got a job. I don't know if he's going to get a job this go-around.
I mean, if the Jets don't hire him, you don't think anybody's hiring him.
Right, and I think that I would agree with you that I would tend to lean and just get the gut feel that Glenn is going to be the Jets guy. Right, so if Glenn's the Jets guy, where is Flores going to land?
Like, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Now, if he's not, if Glenn isn't, then maybe Flores gets the Jets job, but where else would he? He's not going to get Dallas, right?
Saints? I mean, the Saints are going to. I don't know if they're looking at him as well. Chicago?
I don't know, but of the other openings, the six openings, whatever it is.
I think there's seven now, right?
What do we got? We have Jacksonville. You think Flores is going to Jacksonville?
No.
Raiders?
No.
Okay. Dallas?
No.
Chicago?
I think that's going to be McCarthy.
Okay. New Orleans?
Maybe.
Yeah. And then we have the Jets.
Yeah.
So I think there's
maybe
six.
Right.
Right? If you actually do the math, it just seems like, oh, Flores. And I know a lot of people are on that side. I think if the Jets don't hire him, and my gut just tells me, and based on others reporting, whatever, that it's probably down to Flores and Glenn. I would guess that. Based off of all the other candidates. Hey, maybe Joe Brady's a sleeper. I would be even open to McCown. Like, if it would kind of come out of nowhere, and maybe the ideal pairing would be Flores or Glenn and McCown.
Uh-huh.
And be on board with that.
I like that, too.
So at least we're getting somewhere. But, yeah, I get the feeling that the Jets are going to go Glenn. I think the Cowboys probably go Kellen Moore. Familiarity, offensive mind. Like, Jerry's going to go offense, I would think. If he's not going to go offense, he's going to go splash.
Deion.
Yeah, probably not. So? I would assume Chicago's going to go experience and offense.
They're going McCarthy.
Yeah, which would lead me to McCarthy or Kingsbury.
To the point where I was written over the weekend, Chicago broke their protocol. They flew in McCarthy on their own private Bears.
Well, isn't that because he wanted to do an in-person interview?
Whatever it is, they suspended their protocol for him.
Yeah. What do you think? And then Vegas is going to be Ben Johnson. So maybe Jacksonville could be the... I still feel like...
Saleh might get a job. I'm not saying I would hire him.
See, I still feel like Vegas... Think about it. One of the reasons why I say Flores might be on the outside looking in is I think a lot of these teams are going to go offense. Bears with the young quarterback, you would just assume they're going to go offensive. You would assume. Could be wrong, but you would assume. With Jacksonville, I would think the same thing. They're going to go offensive mind. Dallas, I think they're doing the same thing. I don't know about New Orleans, although it does seem like between their interest in Kafka, between their interest in McCarthy, it seems like maybe they're going
now. Glenn's high on their list, too.
I think that's the path for Flores here. I think if Glenn goes to New Orleans, then Flores comes to the Jets.
I think that makes sense.
Otherwise, Glenn here, Flores out.
It might be.
I don't think Flores will get a job in that particular case, and I think it would be wrong. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the calls about the Ravens and the Bills game, whatever really is on your mind from divisional round weekend. Drew is calling from Belmore. What's up, Drew?
How we doing, guys?
Good.
Guys were talking before. Lamar Jackson is something to watch, man. If he slices and dices, man. He's some kind of quarterback, man. Why the Ravens went for two down to 21-19? What is with these coordinators, these coaches deciding to go for two here when there's so much game up? All they would have to do is kick that extra point in the game, and you're getting probably some of the best football I've seen in a couple years.
Well, Drew, let me ask you this, Drew, and I don't know the answer, but how much of the factor is as you, because when you make that decision, obviously all the odds, you have access to all the analytics there, clearly. Now, sometimes you kind of incorporate the gut with the weather, whatever, how your kicker's doing, but I wonder if they're looking ahead and they're saying, if we have to kick a 48-yarder in these conditions, do we want to? Maybe we kind of steal the point here. I'm sure that that's part of it.
There's just so much time left, like, it's 3 minutes left in the game, 6 minutes left. I understand that, and you know, but chasing points. Tom Coughlin's if he's rolling over in his bed right now, chasing points in like the third quarter. Like that's just insane to me. I think that was the play of the game there, going for two. Like got tipped. I'm like, that's it.
Dude. Right, but Drew,
it blew my mind.
To BT's point, I don't disagree that you should not chase points that early in the game.
Me too, by the way.
It's just stupid because you're doing it based on what's happening right now in front of you without projecting that odds are the other team is going to score some more points, which is going to screw up your whole math in this current moment. Like, you're not going to be able to hold them right now and then kick the field goal and tie the game or whatever it is, and that's going to be it for the rest of the game. However, to your point, BT, and I think it's an excellent point, factoring in element who's on their team. Like, Justin Tucker has not had a good year by any stretch. He was okay yesterday, but he has had a bad year. Uh-huh. So in those elements, with a bad year, with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, like, you could almost argue that they'd be better off going for two every time if you want to start adding on some points. Like, again, it's not, I'm more conservative by nature. The game has evolved, though, to where it's not as conservative. And when you have all those things factoring in all those things at play here, I could understand why Harbaugh would maybe choose. I don't think he did it because he was chasing. I hope he didn't do it because he was chasing points. That would be the wrong reason.
Oh, absolutely.
But if he did it for the reasons you said, then it would be okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, the reason why you chase points is because to me, I look at chasing points as, all right, if this game goes in a conventional manner, Team X is better than me, and I kind of know it. And I gotta steal a few here. Otherwise, I'm not going to win.
Right.
Like, you know, you think about and we've seen this a couple times in the NFL where teams have gone for two at the gun, or basically at the gun. And, you know, obviously the counterpoint is, just kick the point extra and you go to overtime. But the more you play, the more the percentage tilts in the favor of the better team. So there's so many things at play here.
Right. It's why I didn't like, I think Atlanta did that against Washington the second to last week, week 17, I want to say, the Sunday night game, where they had a chance to go for two and just end the game.
Uh-huh.
And they chose to kick the extra point, conservative, and go to overtime, and then they got beat.
They got burned.
Never saw the ball again.
I think you see that a lot in college, where that disparity in talent's more evident. Yeah, I mean, we simplify this stuff. It's easy on the radio. I'm not saying that. See, one thing that bothers me, and because this is wrong, like, you just got to deal with the elements of your job. There's sometimes, you guys don't know this, but, you know, sometimes we're doing our show, there's an audio malfunction, Hoff's telling me something in my ear, Dove is saying something in Sal's ear. You know, we still have to be able to do our job. So it's not a good excuse when, and I hear this a lot, well, I mean, there's so many things going on during a football game. The crowd. Yeah, no kidding. It's the NFL.
Right.
There's going to be 75,000 people cheering and yelling like lunatics, half of whom are drunk. You got to deal with it. Don't tell me that you got, you know, lost in the moment and it just overcame your sensibility. Because if that happens, you're not very good at your job. You can't let that happen.
Right. What'd you expect? I mean, that's par for the course. Alan is in Chatham, New Jersey, has some thoughts about the Jets head coach or next head coach. What's up, Alan?
Hello, Alan.
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you taking my call. My question to you is, right, so do you think a guy like Flores, if he gets offered the job, right, is he dying to take the Jets head coaching job, right, like saying maybe he might not be set up for, like, the best success there, second go-around, maybe last chance to get solidified as a head coach in the league?
Yeah.
Right, with their management and everything over there in New York. What do you guys think about something like that?
I think it's an excellent question, because that's a calculation that definitely, absolutely enters the mindset of anybody, especially when you look at that second opportunity where, you know, the first one, he made a lot of enemies and a lot of people around the NFL look at him as toxic. Now, that's dissipated a bit because he's been on good behavior and he's obviously done a good job and he's back in the coaching ranks. But, no, he had a black stain. He had a little stain next to his name for the way it went down in Miami. So, if the next job, if it goes spectacularly poorly, he's not getting a third chance. Whereas if you're a first-year coach, yeah, you're just so desperate to get in that big seat, you probably overlook some of the warning signs and you take the job anyway.
I think it's an excellent point. However, he may not have other options.
I know. So, and he might actually like the roster, too.
So if you're Cliff Kingsbury, let's say, and that's a guy that I would look to hire, do you think Cliff Kingsbury, in his second and probably last opportunity to be a head coach, would select this current Jets job?
No, and I wouldn't want him to. To me, Cliff Kingsbury is, now that might work for other teams that have a better culture and less to overcome, and he's going to get a second job. Maybe not this cycle, but next year, whatever. He's going to be back as head coach. I don't view him as a CEO.
All right, that's fair.
Like, to come into the Jets and change the building?
He said some stuff, though.
He's an offensive guy.
Understood, but he said some stuff that I like that he's learned. But my point is, and you could not want him, whatever, and it's not going to happen, but there's no way I think he would take this job because his career as a head coach would be on the line, where I don't know if Flores is going to have many other options, which then maybe Jet fans are fortunate to be able to get him, and I think it'd be good because he'd be hungry to prove himself. More of your calls as we come back. Got to get into the Dodgers as well, do a little baseball at some point today, BT, with all the signings that they continue to have. 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Monday morning. And how about from a Giants perspective, BT, as we talk about divisional round weekend, you look at the quarterbacks, and I know Jaden Daniels has to hurt. You see him and knowing what could have been had you not won one extra game a year ago if they ended up with Jaden Daniels. Now, no guarantee that Daniels would be as good as he is right now as far as, you know, the success with that team, with the other players around him, with their head coach, with their offensive coordinator in Kingsbury, although you'd like to take your chances if you're Brian Daboll and the Giants. But to me, it just furthers that they need their guy. And it would also be, for me, a dual threat quarterback. I want Shador Sanders. I'm not saying Sanders is going to be Jaden Daniels or the answer. I don't even love Shador.
Yep.
I just love him for the Giants because I think he's their best option this offseason. And I do think they need to now, unfortunately, because of where they're at, force the issue and take a quarterback.
Matter of fact, I feel more strongly not to do that based on, and I've been saying this for a while, and this is kind of counter, not to everybody. Some people are with me, but I think more people are against what I say with this than with me, because obviously the Jets, well, the Jets too, but the Giants need a quarterback. We all know that. But I look at the Giants and I say, all right, as I look at the positions, what do they really have? Like, who's elite? And it's like, we know they have a great left tackle. We know Dex is great. We think Neighbors is going to be an absolute superstar. And maybe one other spot, whether it's Burns, not Thibodeau, one other spot maybe, a cheap running back who's good. They've got some components, right? Okay, so that's appealing in the sense that, for me, rather than reach and get an average quarterback, because I got news for you, if you don't get the right guy, and I don't think the right guy is in this draft because I don't love Ward, and I love Sanders even less than Ward.
Right.
All right, so it's not appealing to me to just scratch the quarterback itch. Oh, all right, hey, here's the placard. Let me get it into Goodell's hand. We drafted a quarterback. Here we go. But that quarterback's going to get his ass whipped by Jaden Daniels for the next decade because he can't shine his shoes. So what I would rather do is I would rather, and I've said this, is not reacting to Daniels over the weekend. This is just a concept that I think the Giants should really, really embrace, unless they love Sanders, and I don't know that they do, and I don't know that they don't. I would really look to trade out, and I would just get those assets, and I would build up around, and I would get myself a great safety and a great corner, and I would just stack some dominoes so that the team isn't deficient in as many areas as they currently are. And when I find the quarterback, now it's plug, play, go.
I'd be more okay with that. See, this is such a complex conversation because in my core principles and philosophies, I agree with you 1,000%. The Giants, have put themselves into a spot where, regardless of how you and I feel or what we say, the owner himself said this regime needs to find a quarterback going into year four. Like, they screwed this up so many times over, and maybe you're right in that forcing the issue for a quarterback now is also going to be another move in the litany of screw-ups over the years for the Giants. I'd be or feel better about what you're saying they should do if they fired Shane and Dable and had a fresh start and said, okay, let these guys come in and let them decide what to do with the third pick, with the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And even if you're not going to that extreme, at the very least, Mara should say, or should not say, we need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the last thing.
It's making it worse by saying
that's
it.
That's exactly right. That's the last thing he should be saying. He should be saying, I believe, if he wants to keep them, and he does, I believe in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll that they are going to see this through. It's not going to be easy. We don't tank. We end up where we end up in the draft. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We went with Daniel Jones. He wasn't our guy. But I'm letting this regime, this tandem, and all their people around them dig out of this, however they need to dig out of it. But yet, it's the exact opposite. He brought them back with essentially an edict saying, you better get a quarterback. And you better win now or else. Like, that is just a disaster.
That's why I would not have brought them back. You just said the same thing. That's why I would have moved on from Dable and Shane. That because, and also, you know, I don't really know how good either one is. You know, there's value in both. I'm not trying to, you know, be overly disrespectful here. Actually, disrespectful at all. But I don't really know how good they are. See, this could change, and it's too late now because he already said it, but he could have positioned this perfectly, talking about Mr. Mara, by inserting one word. We eventually need to find our quarterback. In the meantime, keep adding to the talent base, blah, blah, blah.
Right, because of what's gone on the first 3 years, the patience from the majority of the fan base are gone.
There is nuts. Expired.
Correct. So the owner is trying to connect and resonate with that.
Yep.
And therefore, he showing a lack of patience, which is going to force Shane and Dable into a spot where, now look, maybe they love Sanders and the whole point is moot. Maybe they don't. But it's going to force them into a spot where they kind of need a quarterback. It just, the whole thing is a mess. But yes, in theory, I agree with you that the worst thing they could do would be to force the issue. However, based on where they're at, I believe that they can no longer punt the quarterback position, and it's worth it to me, worth the risk of even reaching for a guy or taking a guy where maybe you don't love him at number three in the risk and hope that it might work out that you have a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and I understand why you say that. And I think a lot of people are probably with you on this. Yeah, I just know that clear minds generally equate to more sensible decisions.
Yeah, I know.
And right now, there's no way Shannon Dable's mind is clear.
Think about it, though, BT. What's the worst that could... Play it out and say that they take...
What's the worst thing?
Well, if... No, the worst thing if they took a quarterback.
Well, he stinks or he's not the one.
And then what?
Well, I mean, eventually you got to find one anyway, sure. Well, but there's more to it. It's not that simple.
Okay.
They very well may have passed on transcendent players at other spots to draft somebody who fizzles.
Okay, understood. But, and they've already done that potentially anyway with the quarterback position.
Yep.
So let's just play it out. Let's say the Giants, Sanders forces his way. He doesn't want Cleveland. Giants take him at number three.
Mm-hmm.
He's their guy. And by year two, like year one, I mean, whatever, however you play it out. Do you think they're going to fire Shannon Dable after next year with a rookie quarterback if he's okay and they are like, I don't know, six wins?
No. No, if they do, I don't know why you brought him back.
Well, correct.
No, that would be incredibly inconsistent.
Right,
no.
Me neither. If they did, you're right. Then they're like beyond. We can't even discuss
that. That's hopeless. So
okay. Then in year two, let's say Sanders doesn't have a good year. Regression,
yep.
Giants still at 6 wins.
And then everybody out of the building.
Bingo. They're fired anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know at year two, Sanders probably isn't it. And maybe it will work better even in year three because then you just get really everybody out and Sanders for sure before his fourth year, and then you have a new regime with a new quarterback. But point is that...
Jeez, to get through more years, we're going to kick this thing down the road?
No, but with Dable and Shane, you've said it yourself, and I agree. Like, if you were bringing them back, in all likelihood, especially if you're taking them or forcing them to take a young quarterback, it's going to be beyond next year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of lines up with a young quarterback now. And if it works... Great, you made the right move. You keep him. Shador is your guy. And if not, in 2 years, you hope in 2 years, at the very least 3 years, you make your decision. You say, you know what? I was patient. I gave them more than one opportunity, Shannon Dable.
Yeah.
We drafted Sanders. Now everybody out, and you start over again.
Well, I think there's one other problem that clouds this a little bit. And you do lay it out well. I hear you. So Tennessee's one, Cleveland's two, Giants three,
yeah.
Right? Okay. I think Tennessee takes Cam Ward. You agree?
I agree.
Okay. And then at that point, I think most of us, and maybe we'll be surprised by this, but I think most of us expect a little Deion flex. My son's not going there.
I just get that feel.
I do too.
If it weren't Cleveland.
Yeah, I think many of us kind of feel that, right?
Right.
So now with Cleveland armed with the knowledge of, all right, if we draft this young man, he ain't coming to play for us, they will then have to trade out of the second spot, okay? Which
or
means,
take the stud, well, take Carter or Hunter.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that they, well, I mean, yes, but I think that they would be foolish to not capitalize on several teams willing to jump into the second spot to take Sanders.
Fair enough.
Which means then the Giants are going to have to trade up from 3 to 2.
Which I would not do.
Possibly to get Sanders. So it's one thing to get Sanders at 3, which I don't even love, but I can certainly understand. To an extent, not as much as you. I wouldn't love it.
Right.
It's quite another to trade to move up to 2 for a quarterback. I don't even like.
I would not
or,
do that.
Or love.
No, and I'm with you there. I wouldn't do that. So let's.
But
play
they
it
might
out.
Have to.
All right, so then let's play it out the other way real quick. Let's say that they don't take a quarterback this year, and they
after
get
he got it.
Yeah, and they get Joe Stopgap, whoever
okay.
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
No, we're tired of going over the same names.
Hey. Joe Stopgap won 15 games for Vikings.
I mean,
he can still have a fun season.
There you go. Right. So let's take they take Joe Stopgap and Shannon Dable, kick the can down the road, and they're okay next year.
Meaning seven wins, 6-6-11. Give me okay. I need to know okay before you keep going.
I'll give you 7 wins.
Go ahead. Keep going.
All right. The following year, like, are we getting a quarterback then? Because now the Giants still not going to be in a position to draft a quarterback.
Yep.
And if maybe the best case would be Joe Stopgap and the Giants fail miserably next year, they have a top pick. Then you do what you should have done a couple years ago, fire everybody, have them take a top quarterback.
That's actually another interesting scenario.
I mean, I guess they could potentially trade up, but my point is if you don't get one now,
uh-huh.
you're punting not only on the quarterback position, you're also extending Shannon Dable without seeing them get another quarterback.
You know what it is? I guess I'm not that interested in seeing these guys with a quarterback. I've seen what, I understand why you say that and others because Dable was brought here to eventually get his hands on a young quarterback when he's impressionable and during the formative stages and coach him up
right.
and just, unleash him on the NFL. I also think that this is a much smaller chance, but Joe Stopgap could turn into Joe Franchise quarterback.
Franchise.
Not likely.
Yeah. All right.
Not likely, but not completely implausible.
Yeah, I get it. All right.
Boy, they're a mess.
You're getting me to come around to your
theory, dude.
Yeah, I know. You're getting me to come around to your theory because I do fundamentally agree with it.
Yeah.
But
I've said this for a while, too. I haven't wavered on this.
I also just want to see a real quarterback,
nice.
Or at least a chance of a real quarterback. BT and Sal back on the fan on this Monday morning, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Busy weekend, but a fun weekend. I know you're doing the Johnny Saturday night. I saw all the pictures. Colt had some fun out there as they smacked around Seton Hall at the Prudential Center.
25 buddies, 25 kids, 10, a few 11-year-olds, but mostly 10-year-olds, and it was awesome, dude. They got to meet the whole team. Matter of fact, St. John, they really... You guys go on Wednesday, you and Hop.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be at the Garden on the floor or watching St. John's
Xavier. Yeah, going to the game against Xavier. You're going to be on the court, so we're going to have... And we'll go out for get a drink after it. The three of us will have a lot of fun with that, but St.
John's...
I don't
know if I could drink anymore.
Why?
Well, I have the eye surgery coming up next week.
Okay.
And plus, I had a lot this weekend.
You're not going to recover by Wednesday, right?
Dude, Wednesday's too
grandma?
Soon. I think I need a whole week
here. How did you have...
Yesterday, not as bad.
All right. Saturday was an old day.
Saturday was the problem. Yeah, well, Hoff and I went to the Devils game earlier in the day.
I was texting you doing it, yeah.
That was fun. Didn't drink there.
Okay.
But then we went out, we got back to my house, watched one of the games, and we went out afterward.
You went over to Rails.
Yes, and then we were having the wine.
Oh, you're drinking, you like the wine
I like the
Rails.
Pinot Noir too, there. Yeah, and then I was drinking, and they bring over, he's like, oh, I got a suggestion. The guy Mike, who's like Frank's boss, the director over there, was like, oh, I got a suggestion. I'm like, yeah. Whatever it is, that's fine. Bro, what was it, Hoff? Like some Josh Jacobs red wine or something?
Michael Phelps, something like that.
It was
like
wait, you Josh went to Rails too?
Yeah, he was there.
I didn't think he was going.
He wasn't sure if he was going to be allowed to.
Oh, right, yeah. He wasn't Mava let the shackles off for the night?
At 10 p.m., I got a text message. Are you coming home tonight?
Oof. Dude, what time did you walk in the door?
Midnight.
Now remember, this is like he had those smoke things again that he likes, those drinks. Ooh. We're having the steak.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife is texting that he was at the Devils game with us early.
Oh,
and
boy.
Hoff did the overnight the night before.
Okay.
Goes Jeez. To the. Yeah.
He's an animal.
That is.
So wait, lay out his day real quick. So you were on the air till what time Friday night?
5 in the morning.
Until what time?
5 in the morning.
All right, you go home, sleep a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So you're useless in the morning. So she cooks, she gets the kid. You do nothing in the morning. The Devil's game started at what time?
12:30.
So you basically get up and leave.
Yeah. He was supposed to meet us at my house so we could all leave together. I was going to drive at 11. Okay. And he texts, he's like, dude, it's 10:30. He goes, I'm an hour away. I'll just meet you at the game. I'm like, all right, whatever.
So he just showed up at the seats?
He showed up at the game. We saw him. Chi Chester was there as well. He's a big Devils fan, so we had fun at the game. They took care of us. It was really nice there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hoff went. Then I had to go pick my friend up at the airport, so Hoff wasn't with us. So he took a different car back to meet me at the house. He's there. We get back before him. And I'm like, you still coming, dude? He goes, yeah, I took a nap. I'm sorry.
In the car?
I took a power nap, 20 minutes.
There you are.
I have no idea where I parked, but I was like, dude, I'm tired. And I saw like an empty lot and just drove in there.
Turned the lights off. I mean, that's I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's awesome or if that's pathetic. I mean, it's just got. So then, walk in at midnight. Now, was Nicole up?
Yes, of course she did. She's always up when I walk home.
It's on a scale of 1 to 10, being completely honest, which you will, how hammered were you? I'm going to say about an 8.
Oh, hammered? No, I barely drank.
You said you were sucking down.
No, no, no. He had a couple of those smoky ones. Yeah, and plus, look at it. He's a big guy. He was eating all. He was fine. Yeah,
he was going to slide that in about the big guy eating a lot.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, and he's trying to go. He's like, oh, I'm watching. Like he was eating the sliders at the Devils game, taking the bread off.
I've done that.
Yeah, I'm just saying though. Like, come on.
I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah, and then we
watch
go,
my weight.
Yeah, then how's in the mac and cheese at Rails or whatever.
Tomahawk.
Now here's where I would agree with Hop. Like, this is a tricky thing with the wives involved.
Okay, well, because maybe not tricky for me.
Go ahead, I'm curious. Play. Even my wife was like, oh well, you'd invite me out. I'm like, well, my friends are in for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
We're going out to dinner, with the guys. Like, it's nothing against you.
Yeah.
But then she felt like maybe she wanted an invite to dinner that night. And I'm like...
No, still with the guys.
Yeah. Like, and then Hoff is dealing with it. His wife's saying the same. And then we pay for it, of course, on the back end. Like, I'll pay for it today because my friends are still there on Sunday. Hoff was probably paying for it all day yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was miserable.
And I got treated like a king all weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I did. I did get Frank. He's like, I was going to ask him for the butter cake, which my wife loves from there, right?
So yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm going to win favor. She loves the butter cake, whatever. Oh. And before I could even ask him for it, he goes, oh, I haven't seen your wife in a while. I'll send her the butter cake. Now I tell my wife this, and what do you think she says? Instead of saying, oh, that's so great,
yeah,
she goes, see, Frank is a better man than you.
See, that's your mistake.
How is that my mistake?
I'm going to tell you. Because there's no way that you should have told that Frank brought this out. What you should have said, hey, honey, I made sure that Frank went to the kitchen and got this for you. It shows initiative. It shows you were thinking
about her. But I'm telling you.
I know you were going to, yes. But he beat you to it. Don't tell her what she doesn't need to know.
I'm telling you.
What are you, a rookie?
You're right. I'm a rookie for being honest. I'm telling you the honest truth. I was going to say, hey, let me order.
I believe you.
To go home.
I totally believe you. Don't tell her that.
I know. You're right. Because I tried to say how nice Frank is.
It's more important how nice she thinks her husband is.
I know, but I thought being honest would work. And she's like, I don't believe you. He said it. Yeah, but he said it first.
He can't
that
win.
I tell you, that is.
I know.
That's a rookie move.
I know. You're right.
It's
I have nobody to blame but myself. Much like the Ravens and Lamar and Mark Ant, nobody to blame but myself. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808.
Hold on. You didn't avoid the press conference like Andrews. This was your press conference. You just owned up. You manned up. You took it on the chin.
I take it
Andrews
like a man.
Was hiding.
That's exactly right, BT. I took the L like a man. John is calling from Huntington. Wants to talk about the Giants quarterback situation. What's up, John?
Hey, boys. This time I actually agree with both of you. BT, I agree that they definitely should trade back. I don't like either of these guys. If anything, I want to wait for like a Jackson Dart who has like 40-plus starts and has the experience like a Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels did. And then, Sal, I want to see these two actually keep moving, get their own guy, because since day one they've been hamstringed with saying that you have to have Daniel Jones. You have to keep this guy. We did him wrong. Like, okay, so they did that. They bit the bullet. They did what he asked. Now it's their turn to get their guy and do their thing. So, I mean, you can trade back, get a corner like BT said, get a bunch of other pieces, you know, and actually keep on building these things with all the holes that you have.
Yeah.
So
the other thing, John, it's a lot longer. Yeah, I got you, John. Thanks for the call. Thank you. The other thing, too, is like, and I understand why people see it this way. You know, you've got to get the great quarterback to elevate everything around you. Yeah, that's kind of true. But if everything around you is built up at a much higher, you know, at least effective, acceptable baseline level, merely a good quarterback can take you further. Then you don't need the great one as much because there's other components in place.
Yeah, I also don't know if I would trade down. I would only do that if I don't let's say they don't love Abdul Carter or whoever is there for them. Then I'd trade down. If not, I'm trying to take the most impactful player that I possibly can in the scenario that I'm not taking a quarterback. But just the timeline of it is all screwed up because this regime needs to be judged on their own quarterback, and we're already 3 years in, and they didn't do it yet. And in the fourth year, they're not in a spot where they're going to be able to take one that everybody seems is going to be a great option.
Here's what's going to happen, Sal, and this is going to make it really tough for those two gentlemen, Shane and Dable. You know, whether they stay at three, trade out, or get a quarterback, and the quarterback plays early and doesn't play well, no matter what happens, the organization is going to get killed. Because, like, if they don't win right away, and they're not, I don't think they're going to next year, these guys have no equity. The benefit of the doubt, gone. So, if they don't have better quarterback play, the native's going to be restless, understandably so.
Right.
And if they do take a quarterback, and he doesn't show signs, and this is unrealistic and unfair, but like a Jaden Daniels, like a young stud, you're going to start saying they took the wrong guy.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't really know how you win here.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. Like, the odds are so stacked against the Giants getting through this successfully. Not just Shane and Dable, the Giants organization, and, of course, Shane and Dable. We'll come back, reset, get down with the King topic of the day. Of course, divisional round, whether it's Lamar, whether it's Aaron Glenn, and as it pertains to the Jets, whether it's Jaden Daniels and what that means for the Giants and the franchise quarterback, there's a lot at play here, and it is all NFL, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.